Good morning, congregation. Welcome to our worship service this morning. We would like to welcome all visitors who are worshiping with us today, as well as those who are following along online. We pray that we may be blessed as we worship the Lord together. A few announcements from council. The congregation is again reminded that the offerings today will be for the work of the deacons, both locally and abroad. Furthermore, the congregation is informed that there will be a council meeting tomorrow evening, Monday evening, at 7:30 p.m. Furthermore, the congregation is also reminded that the Lord's Supper will be celebrated next week, Sunday morning. Today, we welcome Reverend Dick Moos, Emeritus Pastor of the Surrey Covenant Reformed Church, to lead our worship service.
Very good morning to you all. The Lord calls us to worship Him with the following words. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be His glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen. If you are able, would you please rise? Congregation, where does our help come from?
Our help is in the name of the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. Amen.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us sing together Psalm 95, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
The Lord is also our shepherd and defender. In the fact that he gives us the Ten Commandments of love as the way in which we live in communion with him and one another. So let's listen to these Ten Commandments through that little window this morning. The Lord, our shepherd and our defender. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or on the earth below or in the waters under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the sins of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing unfailing love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day. By keeping it holy, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or your daughter, your manservant or your female servant, your cattle or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the seas and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and he hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, his female servant, his ox or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. The Lord Jesus Christ summed up these Ten Commandments through which the Lord shepherds us and defends us by saying the Christian life is about learning how to love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments of love hang all the law and the prophets. Let's respond by singing together Psalm 95, the stanzas 4 and 5.
Thank you.
Let us unite together in prayer. Eternal Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, we worship you this morning as the God who has gathered us together by your word and spirit, and who's leading and guiding us as the great shepherd of his sheep. Father, how good it is to have you as our shepherd, the one who sees us, who hears us, who knows all about us, who is actively involved in all the affairs of our lives, from second to second. Truly, Father, with you as our shepherd, we have all that we need. And with you as our shepherd, we need never fear. With you as our shepherd, we can rest assured that you love us just as much as you love the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you that also during this past week, you led, guided, and provided for us out of the inexhaustible abundance of your amazing grace. We thank you that when we cried, you heard. When we thought that you were absent, you were present and you saw us. When we thought that you did not understand, you knew us. And when we needed your help, you were there. Father, thank you for the gift of your good and perfect law of love, through which you shepherd and defend us. Thank you that this law directs us so clearly in how to walk the way of love for you and our neighbor through faith. Thank you especially for the Lord Jesus Christ, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, who walked this way of love for us, and who now wants to do in us what he has done for us, as we put him on through faith and learn from him, walking in his spirit in full dependence upon him. Father, forgive us for not having walked in your spirit and learning from Christ as we ought to have. Forgive us for not having been open to what you were willing to give by entrusting ourselves to you in faith. Free us from any fear we may have in letting go and letting you take over our lives through the miraculous working of your Spirit, teaching us to learn from Christ. And heal us as we increasingly die to ourselves, our old selves, and arise to our new life in the Spirit of Christ, so that it is no longer we who live, but Christ Jesus who lives in us, teaching us, guiding us, defending us. Bless now the reading and the proclamation of your word this morning. May the Holy Spirit take the external reading and proclamation and mysteriously bring it to life, so that we all hear you personally and directly addressing us this morning. And may he enable us to respond with the obedience of faith. To that end, may he also silence all other voices that clamor for attention in our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The council asked me to preach on the text for your family visitation season, Hebrews 10:23. Our scripture reading then, to place it into the immediate context, is Hebrews 10, first of all, the verses 19 to 25, and then 32 to 39. Verse 19 and following begins with a little summary of what the author has all spoken about in chapters 7, 8, and 9, in the beginning of chapter 10, about Jesus being the new way, being the better way. So he sums that all up in a few verses, saying, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." And then continuing with verse 32, tells you about some of the hardships the Hebrew Christians were experiencing. "But recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. And so you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come, and not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and the perseverance and who preserve their souls." And I'll take the beginning of verse 1 of chapter 11 as well. "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for," can also be "the foundation of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." So far our scripture reading. Let us first sing Psalm 87. our text and the text for your family visitation season, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, how do you deal with hard circumstances in your life? Your personal life, your family life, your life in society, but also life together as a congregation. It is no secret that this congregation has gone through a difficult time and is still going through a difficult time. Some thought the pastor needed to go, and others thought that the pastor needed to stay. The pastor ended up going, and so did many members in the process, before he left and after he left. And it's left its impact on the size of the congregation. It's also left its impact on the sense of well-being within the congregation. Now, the big question is, how do you deal with this hardship? Where are you going to get the strength to persevere as a congregation? What gives you joy in the midst of your trials? And what gives you hope in the midst of the suffering and in the midst of other difficulties and other trials you may have? The Hebrew Christians were also experiencing hardships, personal hardships, and hardships in their life together as little house congregations. The first hardship, or actually in general we can say, the hardship was the pressure that the unbelieving Jews placed on the Hebrew Christians. And the first way that they did this was to make the Hebrew Christians feel inferior. They would say to them, look what you left behind. Look at the visible temple that we have. Look at the elaborate worship service that we have. Look at the visible priests and the visible high priest that we have. And look at all the visible sacrifices that are offered. And look at what you have. You have no visible institutions to speak of, really. And as for your so-called high priest, his glory was veiled on the cross, and his glory was veiled, or is veiled, in heaven. So now you understand why there's all this emphasis on Jesus as the high priest, right? The invisible high priest, who surpasses all of this visible material worship. That's the first way they did that. We have way more than you have. Now, the second way they did this was by physically persecuting the Hebrew Christians. The Hebrew Christians were exposed to reproach. Some of them had their possessions plundered, while others were put in prison. Now, how are they? How are they going to deal with their hardship? They're being tempted to turn away from their faith. They're being tempted to fall into unbelief. They're being tempted to give up on their journey into God's rest, into that eternal city prepared for them. What's going to give them strength so that they can persevere as little congregations of the Lord Jesus Christ? What actually is their hope that is supposed to give them hope for the journey? And the answer that the author to the Hebrews gives is this: take your eyes off the visible and focus the eyes of your heart on the invisible. Focus your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is your hope in times of hardships. And do so with confidence. It's always nice to look at the structure of a passage. If you have your Bibles open, you can look at verse 19 that speaks about entering the holy places with confidence. And then that word confidence reappears in verse 35. Do not throw away your confidence. So look, it's like two little bookends. So look to Jesus as your hope and do so with confidence. It's a word also used in the book of Acts many times. It's used for Peter and John after they had healed the crippled man in Acts 3. And then the Sanhedrin gets all upset. And then they have to appear before the Sanhedrin. And Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, preaches that this man was made well through the power of Jesus. And there is salvation in no other name given among men than in the name of Jesus. And when they saw Peter's confidence, see, that's what it is. It's boldness. Look to Jesus with boldness in the midst of your opposition. It's the only way to persevere. You need to take your eyes off the visible hardships and focus the eyes of your heart on the invisible Lord Jesus Christ. And for the younger ones among us, but also for us older ones, Jesus demonstrated what this looks like when he walked on water once, walked on the waves. And then Peter, impulsive Peter, gets out of the boat and he wants to walk to Jesus. But he took his eyes off, in this case it was the visible Jesus, he took his eyes off the visible Jesus. And he focused his physical eyes on the hardships of the waves. And he sank into the water. Now what Peter did physically there, with his physical eyes, focusing on the physical waves, he shouldn't have done. And so the Hebrew Christians should not do what Peter did. And they should transform that spiritually, take a spiritual lesson out of that, and keep their eyes focused, in this case, on the invisible Jesus in heaven, and not focus on their trials and tribulations, on all of this being made to feel inferior, all of this reproach, the confiscation of their possessions, being put in prison and so forth. That plays a role, but don't make that the main focus of your attention. Make the Lord Jesus Christ the main focus of your attention, because He is your hope. That raises the question, of course, how Jesus is our hope. What future reality is Jesus the embodiment of and the guarantee of? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is the embodiment and the guarantee of God's eternal Sabbath rest that the Father and the Son are bringing creation and a new humanity into. I preached about this in this congregation in July. Sermon on Genesis 2, verses 1 to 3. It's about the seventh day. It comes after the first 6 days. The first 6 days have morning and evening. And the seventh day in which God rested has no morning and no evening. So what's the relationship now between what God has created, and He says it is very good, and the seventh day, where God says He rested from His labor? There's no evening, no morning. And I suggested to you back in July, and I still do that today, it tells us that the purpose of creation, God's purpose of creating the world, and creating Adam and Eve and humankind, is so that He can bring creation and a new humanity into the eternal Sabbath rest that has no morning and no evening. And every Sabbath day and every Sunday is a weekly reminder that this is the goal of God's creation and God's work of redemption. This is why we're here. This is where history is headed. This is where the church is headed. And every Sunday and every Sabbath day, as I said, is a reminder of that. And I pointed you to Lord's Day 38 that explained the meaning of the fourth commandment, among other things, by saying it's a beginning. Every Sunday is a beginning. Learning to enter into the eternal Sabbath rest. So Jesus is the embodiment of that hope and the guarantee of that hope. That hope is true. God is faithful. As He brought Jesus into that eternal Sabbath rest, He will bring you into that eternal Sabbath rest. And this hope of the eternal Sabbath rest is central in the letter to the Hebrews. There was a reason why I picked Psalm 95, especially the stanzas 4 and 5. Because the author to the Hebrews quotes Psalm 95 in chapter 3. And he says, "Now don't be like the Israelites and harden your hearts in unbelief. Because if you do, you will not enter into the rest." And then chapter 4 of Hebrews, the author to the Hebrews talks about Joshua bringing the people into the land of Canaan and then saying that was not the end of the journey. The land of Canaan had another reference in the history of redemption. And that other reference in the history of redemption is the eternal Sabbath rest. The land of Canaan pointed forward to that eternal Sabbath rest. And he summed it up by saying, so there remains for the people of God a Sabbath rest. Goes right back to creation, to Genesis 2. In fact, he even quotes Genesis 2 about God resting on the seventh day, clearly connecting the purpose of creation, looked at through the New Testament, the purpose of redemption and the eternal Sabbath rest. Plays a central role in the letter to the Hebrews. Also plays a central role in Hebrews 11. All those saints, a mass procession of believers. Someone once described it a little bit at the beginning of the Olympic Games. You know, you have this mass procession of athletes, all with their flags from the different countries. You know, they're all walking into the stadium. And this man compared that to this mass procession of believers, even though it wasn't an international fellowship there in Hebrews 11. But you get the point. You got this mass procession of believers passing by. And the point that the author is making is that they all held on to the confession of their hope. They lived by faith. There's always a translation difficulty there. Faith is the assurance of our hope. That's subjective. Faith is the foundation of our hope. That's objective. It's probably both. My New Testament professor translates, it is the oxygen. It's the oxygen. I like that. It's the oxygen of your hope. Your hope in the life of glory, in the eternal Sabbath rest, living in the fullness of God's presence, His loving presence, His life-giving presence, His light-giving presence. Their hope kept this mass procession of believers going. And hope also played an important role in Hebrews 13, where the author exhorts the readers to go outside the camp, outside Jerusalem, and to share in the reproach of the Lord Jesus Christ by saying farewell to their earthly Jerusalem as the spiritual center of their faith and seeking the city that is to come, the new Jerusalem, in the eternal Sabbath rest of God. And when the Lord Jesus Christ arose from the dead, He became the first fruits of this eternal Sabbath rest. Why? Because He rose with a glorified body. A body that couldn't sin, couldn't die. A body that lives forever in the presence of the Father. And as such, He is the embodiment of our hope. What happened to Him will happen to us. There's one caveat. One caveat. It'll happen to us if we hold fast to our hope. In faith. If we live in Christ through faith. Then it'll happen. Because He who has promised is faithful. God is a God who not only promises, God is also a God who keeps His promises. He's faithful. So this is the first reason why our text says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope. I think he's saying this because he wants to say to the Hebrew Christians, look, there's more to life than the visible. There is a new heaven and a new earth just over the horizon. And as a church, he's saying this to the Hebrew Christians, as a church, you are a pilgrim community. You're a church, a pilgrim community that's on the move to an eternal destination. This world is not your home. This world, with all its hardships and difficulties, there's an other world coming without any hardships. And cling to this hope, which means cling to the Lord Jesus Christ, the embodiment and guarantee of your hope, in faith. Because faith is the oxygen of your hope. Just like faith was the oxygen of the hope of all those believers in that mass procession. And in order to just understand the metaphor, or let the metaphor do its work, of faith being the oxygen of your hope, it's probably good to ask what happens to a person when he or she is short of oxygen. Well, the first thing that happens to you is that you are short of breath. And another thing that happens to you is that you have a decreased tolerance to physical activity. And maybe a third thing that happens to you with a lack of oxygen is that you feel as if you're choking or going to choke. Now just let that metaphor do its work spiritually. When we do not cling to Jesus in faith, faith that is the oxygen of our hope, you and I are going to get spiritually short of breath. And you and I are going to have a decreased tolerance to hardships. And you and I are going to run the risk that we're going to allow the hardships of our life to choke out our Christian hope. And the author says, don't do that. Don't do that by clinging to Jesus without wavering. Don't waver like Peter, who tried to walk on water, and taking his eyes off Jesus. But keep your eyes on Jesus with the eyes of faith. Now, I think there's a second reason, which is very closely related to the first. I think there's a second reason why the author tells the Hebrew Christians to hold fast to the confession of their hope without wavering. Because when we look to Jesus, the embodiment of our hope, and focus our attention on Him, what happens then? Again, this is closely related to the first. But what happens? I want to just single this out for a moment. Then our hope becomes a constructive force in the present. It functions the same as remembrance. And you know that Jesus said about the Lord's Supper, do this in remembrance of me. And when you and I open ourselves to the past, and we allow memories of the past to flood into our consciousness of the present, what happens? The past re-presents, like re-presents, the past re-presents itself, becomes present again in the present. And it becomes an active force in the present. Either for good, if it was an embarrassing past, right? If you deal with it sinfully, it become, I'm actually meant for bad. If it was an embarrassing past, it's a constructive force for bad in the present. But it can also become a constructive force for good in the present, if they're good memories. Now, what happens with remembering is the same with hoping. Focusing on the future and opening yourself to the future and allowing the Lord Jesus Christ as the embodiment of your future, it kind of comes into the present through the bond of the Spirit, and it becomes a constructive and active force in the present. And you begin to experience in the present the beginning of the eternal Sabbath rest. And that in turn begins to transform how you experience your hardships in the present. And when that happens, when you focus on the future, allowing the future to be a constructive force in the present, then through faith, you can walk on water, spiritually speaking, because you confidently place your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the waters. As you open yourself to him, allowing him to transform you, and you boldly continue your journey with hope in the midst of the waves of the hardships of the present. And my last point is this. This spiritual discipline of holding fast, the confession of our hope, needs to be fed and strengthened. Two verses after holding fast to your hope, the author says, do not neglect to meet together, as is the habit of some. And I think he admonishes the Hebrew Christians, among other reasons, to not neglect to meet together, because in the worship service, their Christian hope and the spiritual discipline of focusing on the Christian hope is strengthened. For what happens in the worship service? In the worship service, the gospel of our hope is proclaimed. As the pastor engages in the hardships that the members are experiencing in the present. And in the worship service, in the proclamation, the pastor instructs the congregation about the nature of the Christian church and the nature of the Christian hope and how this transforms the present. And they are convicted. They're convicted of perhaps not allowing their Christian hope to transform the present. They are convicted of perhaps not living by faith, the oxygen of their hope. And then they're inspired to look to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith, being open to the Lord Jesus, the embodiment of their future, allowing him to transform them in their difficult present. And in doing so, they are strengthened in persevering, in traveling the journey together as a pilgrim community into their eternal Sabbath rest. Well, brothers and sisters, what the Hebrew Christians needed to hear, you need to hear as well. And, of course, I need to hear this too. Your congregation has shrunk in size. There is the residual pain of the struggle. And there is the discouragement with regard to the future. And then you have other hardships. Personal hardships. Family hardships. You have other pain. Other kinds of discouragement. In this pain and in this discouragement, the author says to you, and that means Jesus says to you, and think about this as you talk about the text on your family visitations. Jesus says to you, take your eyes off the visible, the difficult visible, and focus on the invisible. Continue to hold fast to the Lord Jesus as the embodiment of your hope through faith. And then when you do that, that'll keep you from getting spiritually short of breath. That'll keep you from having lack of tolerance for your hardships. It'll keep you from allowing your hardships to choke your life of faith. Because Jesus Christ comes to live in a difficult present as the beginning of your eternal Sabbath rest. Amen. Let us sing together hymn 73, stanza 1. Once the offering has been taken, let us continue singing hymn 73, the stanzas 2, 3, and 4. Thank you. Let us unite together in prayer. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus, our Christian hope. We thank you that where he is, we will also one day be, when we hold fast to the confession of our hope, in faith, without wavering. And we thank you, Father, that how he is, we will one day be too. Incorruptible, immortal, fully indwelt by the Holy Spirit, always wholeheartedly loving you and all those around us. Father, enable this congregation now to keep the eyes of their hearts focused on this Lord Jesus Christ without wavering. And in doing so, enable them to remember that they are a pilgrim community that is traveling the journey together to their eternal Sabbath rest in your coming kingdom of heaven. In doing so, enable them not to become spiritually short of breath, not to experience decreased tolerance to hardships, but to have the Lord Jesus Christ transform them in the midst of their hardships, giving them what they need to continue the journey in the joy and strength of the Christian faith. And Father, we pray for this world that is so full of hardship and will continue to be full of hardship until the Lord Jesus Christ returns to make all things new. And yet so many in this world do not see this. So many want the difficulties and the hardships of life to disappear in this life, because they think that this life is the only life there is. Father, open their eyes to the true meaning of life and the true nature of life. And to that end, bless all work of mission and evangelism in this world, also among the Jews and the Muslims. Father, we pray for those who are mourning the loss of loved ones. We think of all those mourning the loss of loved ones who died because of senseless shootings. Those who are mourning the loss of loved ones because of an airline crash in Indonesia. And those who are mourning the loss of loved ones because of malnutrition and starvation. Father, comfort as only you are able to comfort. Father, we pray for your church universal, especially those who suffer because they bear the name of Christ. Father, we thank you that this past week the Supreme Court in Pakistan acquitted one of your children, Asia Bibi, from the charge of blasphemy. Continue to watch over her now that she has been barred from leaving the country. And perhaps a new process will be launched. Father, enable all your persecuted children to persevere by confidently looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, the embodiment of their hope, without wavering. Father, we pray for the needs of this local congregation. Grant a special blessing to the housebound, to those who are struggling with health. We lift up a relative of the congregation, Jacob Bradenhoff, to you, who is entering into the most difficult part of his chemo treatment. Strengthen our little brother for this. Uphold and sustain him and his family and loved ones. And grant the healing and the restoration that is desired. Bless all caregivers who give of their time and their love by walking alongside weak loved ones, upholding and supporting them. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to assemble together this morning. Graciously accept our worship and hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Sing together hymn 10. Receive the blessing of the Lord in faith and share this blessing with those around you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.